Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 66, the first three stanzas. Ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord, whose watchful care, when my foes their plots devise, keep my feet from every snare. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 66. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee an exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off walking with him, talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, thy servant did stand in awe of thee and of thy commandment, so that he did carry it out even in the self same day as thou hadst said it unto him. And thou knowest the heart of each one of us. Oh, then we need to be born again. For thou givest us also thy commandments, thy statutes, thine ordinances. But we have no heart that is inclined unto obedience by nature, for we have no renewed heart. And we follow in the way of him whom we have chosen in paradise. To him we are obedient, as he is our Father. And our flesh does desire all that he does lure us with in the ways of sin, in the desires of the world. Oh, that thou may teach us each one from above, that we also may receive that blessed desire to be walking in all thy commandments, and that it may be fruitful for us instruction in the knowledge of ourselves, and that we may see and feel and experience how deeply that we have fallen away from thee, and that we are not able anymore to do it with our heart, and that indeed If thou wilt put thy wall and fence about us, O, then our hands, they shall be withheld from thievery and from adultery and from murder. But thou knowest that within our heart then it all lies. O, that thou may cleanse and wash us from all our iniquities. And wilt thou instruct us in order that we may need to be forgiven, and that thy dear Son may become precious unto us, in whom is no form or comeliness in our eyes by nature, but we see in him no beauty. There is in him, in us, no desire for him. And that we should desire him because that we do not see our need for him. O Lord, grant us then open eyes, that thou may give that foundation to be laid in our soul in the knowledge of our own misery, that we might learn to mourn therefore. That our distance from thee, that our separation from thee may become our burden. Oh, may it be that there are those for whom it is a burden. Lord, that they may be found here amongst us. By the power of thy Spirit amongst our children or young people perhaps. For thou dost work in the days of the youth of thy people. Then thou dost begin by planting that regeneration within the heart, even when they are young, when that heart is tender. Oh, that thou may give that they are to be found also among us. And that as parents we may be given to see something of the blessed fruits, that desire to walk according to all thy ways, then there may be also such a desire found in the hearts of mothers and of fathers, in all the great responsibility that is laid upon us, that it may be an example that is set before our children of true godliness, then there shall be a desire born in their hearts also. And Lord, wilt thou revive thy own work in the midst of the years wherein we are living with our children? For so much does draw them in the way of this world. But there is so little that is evident in thy church to draw them to the service of the Lord. Oh, that thou may remember us in thy mercy, and that thou may shine with thy countenance upon us, and we shall be saved when shines thy face once more. And that thou may build up the walls of Zion which are so broken down. And that thou may give thy children something of that desire again. To burn within their hearts for that blessed Son of God. That they may be brought for the first or by renewal to the end of all their own efforts. And that need may be experienced by renewal. That there may be forgiveness in him whom thou hast sent to take away the sin of the world. Look then upon thy church. O, establish it. Establish it in the length and in the breadth. To the increase of the 144,000 to complete that number before that end will come. Oh, do establish it also in the height and in the depth, and that it may be for their instruction in true godliness and in the knowledge and the need
of free and sovereign grace, to the glory of thy great and holy triune name. Remember us then all together, also in the many needs of this life, Lord, remember governors and all that rule and reign us, as thou sayest that we are to set them, to lay them before thee. And then we live in a time wherein they seem so to be given over, and that the prince of this darkness is ruling upon the throne in our countries. O Lord, that thou may have dealings with us, and that thou may remember us in thy mercy, and that our prosperity might not be our ruin, but that thou may bring us again upon that right way, and that thou may spare us yet as countries for our children and for our grandchildren, that thou would not yet bring upon us that awful persecution that is to come, but that thou may spare us yet that we may be saved, and that we may yet enter in with our children through that straight and that narrow way. Remember all thy truly sent servants, could it please thee, to send forth more servants in thy vineyard, not to be made by men, but wilt thou thrust them forth in all the impossibility from man's side. Lord, thou knowest what it is, for from man's side, then it is a work that is too heavy for his shoulders. But oh, when thou dost call and when thou dost send, then thou art so faithful to give everything that is necessary for that work. Oh, then we may say, O Lord, that that has been our experience, even to this very day, that never hast thou yet made us ashamed, even when we least deserve thy notice or attention. And so thou wilt do it even unto the end of the world. Could it please thee then to send forth those who have no strength in themselves, that can see no way, but upon whom thou hast bound this work? Oh, that thou may remember us then in time to come, and that for the sake of our children, that we may be gladdened with thy deeds. Wilt thou look on thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world, and whatever denomination and country or situation that they may be in, and especially those that are persecuted for the sake of thy name, give them encouragement and strength from above, and that thou may look upon all those that are upon the mission fields. Give also a servant amongst them upon our own mission field. And wilt thou be with all that are laboring in the warfare, the soldiers, protect them. And wilt thou supply safety also and a place of refuge. Be with all that are in the prisons. And we remember him also from the midst of our own community that has been brought into the prison. Lord, that thou may look upon him there, and that thou may remember him in the way that he now must go, that thou may thyself watch over him, and wilt thou grant him that true repentance, that he may find the place even of thy servant Manasseh, and that it may be profitable also for him. And look upon each one that has been affected in this way, O Lord, that thou may thyself supply for sin that does bring so much misery into this world. And wilt thou keep us each and every one because the seeds of sin are found in all our hearts, that thou may prevent such sin also from being committed in our midst, further in our families, oh, that thou may watch over and protect us. For Satan does seek our youth, and he does seek to lead them in these ways of filth. Oh, that thou may watch over our young people, and that thou may spare them from all the ways of iniquity, and that thou may look upon each and every one of us, show us our need for forgiveness. Oh, show us that we belong in the prison, and wilt thou give us a desire that we may be delivered by that price that was paid by thee. Oh, that it may become so necessary for us, and also so precious. And when we may consider also in this afternoon hour, something of that token which thou hast given concerning that forgiveness, that it may be good to be together, that the need of thy church may be satisfied, and that we may be instructed also in thy truth, and that we may be enabled to defend that truth against all error, and that thou may lead us in it for the good of our souls. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 213, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Instructing our sons, we gladly record the praises, the works, the might of the Lord. For he hath commanded that what he hath done be passed in tradition from father to son. We announced that the last collection today is for the medical expenses of Mrs. Hoffman, and that the Confession of Faith classes will not begin on Monday, as is in the bulletin, but that the students will be contacted. Psalter 213, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon hour for Lord's Day 27, the 74th question. Lord's Day 27, question 74, are infants also to be baptized? Answer, yes. For since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God, and since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them no less than to the adult, they must therefore, by baptism as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Covenant or Testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the New Covenant. So far, our Lord's Day, which concerns infant baptism. And we wish to consider in this afternoon first the grounds of infant baptism, and second, the blessedness of infant baptism. Infant baptism, first, the grounds, and second, the blessedness of infant baptism. What was, congregation, especially favorable to Mephibosheth in the lame condition in which he was, and as he was the grandson of the enemy of King David. Thus it was in those days in other lands that the seed of the former king would be slain, so that they had not the opportunity to rise up against the new king. And yet there was something that was so favorable unto this Mephibosheth. And what was that? That was that his father was known by King David. Not only was he known by King David, but his father was loved by King David. And that there was a covenant that was between the king and his father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Thus, the love of David to Jonathan was not only to him, but that love was extended also to the seed of Jonathan. That, of course, was a great advantage that was to the favor of this Mephibosheth when he was a grandson of the enemy of the king. This is a type also of another covenant. That is the covenant of which we have read. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. We read also in Psalm 115, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And in Isaiah 61, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed that the Lord hath blessed. It is far from being an insignificant matter that we are born under the confines of the outward administration of the covenant of grace. That is a very significant thing. Even as that was very significant for Mephibosheth. Our fathers ask, are infants also to be baptized? And why is it that our fathers ask this question about infant baptism? That is because, and they are coming against the objections of the Baptists. It is profitable when by times there is criticism. Because when there is criticism, then there is also a searching, or ought to be, a searching into the foundations of that truth whereupon that we are standing, so that the wrong may be rejected and that we may be more firmly grounded upon a true and a solid foundation. Of course, there are those Baptists that are not free will, as the strict Baptist, to whom we feel very close in the doctrine. And yet, we are not able to join together into one. And why not? Because there is an objection to our baptizing of little babies. Why? There are several objections, and these several objections, they seem to be very plausible. When we look at them, then it seems that the Baptist objections may be truly according to the Word of God. In the first place, then it is objected that the baptism of infants is not something that we read in God's Word is ever commanded by the Lord Jesus. We never read anything of it that it necessarily was done unto an infant. We never read that the disciples are directly commanded by the Lord to baptize an infant. That is the objection, and that objection is true. There is no positive command by Christ, nor do we read ever specifically about such a thing taking place. Thus, we say, it seems to be a right objection. In the second place, their objection is that faith is presupposed in the sacraments.
Philip said to the eunuch, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Thus faith has to come first, it is said. Afterwards, then there may be the Holy Sacrament. And this is also true. We also believe that faith that is presupposed in the in the sacraments, both in baptism and in the Holy Supper. We heard this last week. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples that they must go and they must teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Thus, first they had to teach. They had to, as it were, make disciples of the Gentiles. And after that they made disciples of them, they were to baptize them. Thus, two things. And then it seems as if that Baptist view is very right. Dr. John Gill, he calls infant baptism the pillar, part and pillar, he says, of popery. That he says this is something that is in the Roman Catholic Church, and this is something that is supporting a Roman Catholic doctrine. Why is it then that we baptize infants, children? How is it that we justify this practice? Is this then indeed something of man, or is this indeed commanded by the Lord? That is the reason that our fathers asked this question in our Lord's Day. Are infants also to be baptized? And what is their answer? Their answer is yes. So, how can this be? The whole argument of our fathers is based on a relation. A relation. It is a relation between the Old Testament sacrament and the New Testament sacrament. It is the relation between circumcision and baptism. Thus our fathers say, as was done in the Old Covenant or Testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the New Covenant. Thus, why do we baptize little children? We baptize little children, infants, because infants were in the Old Testament circumcised. And because we believe that baptism is a sacrament which has replaced circumcision in the New Testament. Thus, it goes over this connection. And therefore, we need to be able to prove this connection. If this connection is not able to be proven, then the main argument that we have for baptizing infants, that is completely falling apart. But if we can show that indeed that baptism is the replacement of circumcision in the New Covenant, then every one of the objections of the Baptists against infant baptism is falling away. Thus, how are we now able to prove, are we able now to show the connection and the replacement of Old Testament circumcision with New Testament baptism? Is this something that is clear from the Holy Scriptures? And then the answer is yes, it is. Circumcision. Circumcision is not something that is without meaning.
Circumcision is not something which is just a mere outward rite in a mere outward form. But circumcision meant something. It pointed to something. And it pointed to something which was spiritual. What did the Lord say? We read that together. What did the Lord say to Abraham in the institution of circumcision? Then he calls circumcision a token. A token. Well, a token is something which is standing for something else, children. So, circumcision, he says, is actually standing for something else. It is pointing unto something else. And we read what that thing was, that it is a token, the Lord says, of the covenant. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep. You remember how that we have explained that sometimes the token is actually being called by the thing itself. So it is also here. It was circumcision. And he says, this circumcision is my covenant. Well, that circumcision is not the covenant in itself, no. But that circumcision, that is the token, it is the symbol, it is the sign of this covenant. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Thus, circumcision, a token. And circumcision, a token which is pointing to a spiritual covenant. Pointing to a spiritual covenant of grace, not just then an empty form. The Lord had something to say to Abraham. Did he not in that covenant? And when he had something to say in that covenant, then he also gave him a symbol or a sign and also a seal of that which he had to say to him. That was for the strengthening of faith. There was something physical. There was something in there in the body that was to help in a natural way to strengthen that faith concerning the promise of that covenant. So we see that that token, that circumcision, that meant, that pointed to something that was spiritual, something else. Why did circumcision cease at the coming of Christ? Our children know that. You say it ceased at the coming of Christ because Christ was the fulfillment of that circumcision. Thus, in the Old Testament, they were looking to the coming of Christ, and this shedding of blood of man that was pointing also to the shedding of the blood of that mediator. Thus, when that blood was shed, then it was not necessary for that blood of man to be flowing anymore. Thus, it is impossible to deny that circumcision is pointing to spiritual blessings that have been fulfilled by the coming of that mediator. That circumcision is but the sign and the outward seal of the blessings which have been fulfilled in Christ. Question. Did now those spiritual blessings cease? Those spiritual blessings that were now signified by that Old Testament circumcision, did the spiritual blessings now come to an end in the New Testament. That is impossible. How is it possible that the spiritual blessings came to an end in the New Testament upon the fulfillment of them? It is actually just the opposite. It is now that those spiritual blessings are confirmed. Thus, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, He is no longer just the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, but now He has said Himself, it is finished. Thus, there is a confirmation that those blessings, they are being bestowed upon His church. What does the apostle say? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Thus we hear that circumcision, that is a sign. That is not an empty ceremony. No, it has a meaning. It is pointing to spiritual blessings. And those spiritual blessings are blessings that did not cease at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A question. If that is true, that the spiritual blessings that are represented by circumcision did not cease, but the token, that is, the shedding of blood of circumcision, did cease, then did the Lord give another token which represented those same spiritual blessings for His New Testament church? Did He give something then in its place? Then we must say, it is very clear that He did. And how is that so very clear? Paul explains this very clearly to the Colossians. In Colossae, there were both Jewish Christians and there were Gentile Christians. And we know how difficult that was for the Jewish Christians, those who were the Hebrews' children, they were the Jews, and they were used to all of their customs, and they had been circumcised for many years, and then the Lord Jesus came, and the Gentiles, of course, were not circumcised. And now these Jews, they thought that also the Gentiles ought to be circumcised as they were, as the Lord had commanded for so many years. And this was a problem. This has caused much unrest within the church. And Paul has refuted this. Paul has said to the Jewish Christians that it was not necessary that they should be demanding that the Gentile Christians should now be circumcised. Why? Well, he says, because they are already circumcised. Say, already circumcised. How can they be already circumcised? That is what the argument is about. You say they are not circumcised. Yet, Paul says, yes, they are already circumcised. What does he say? And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Thus he says, indeed, yes, they are already circumcised, then you understand that he is not talking about a natural circumcision, but he is speaking about a spiritual circumcision. And then he is speaking about the meaning of circumcision. He is speaking about the putting off of the body of sins. Well, that is speaking again of that cleansing that we spoke of last week. So he says, he speaks of the meaning of that circumcision. What is that? That is the circumcision of the heart. That is the cleansing of the heart. That is the washing away of the filth of the heart. That is the forgiveness of our sin. Thus he says, you are already circumcised because you have already that thing that that circumcision stands for. You have the substance of that circumcision. That is more important than the sign. But then he says something else. But then he says, and not only so, but you also have the outward sign, which means that same thing. Buried with him, he continues, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Therefore, Paul says, you have not only the substance, but you actually do already have the sign. Why? He says, because you are baptized. And baptism is signifying that same cleansing and that same washing that in the Old Testament was signified by circumcision. Thus, these are two tokens. They are pointing to that same covenant. Thus, Paul says clearly that baptism that is replacing circumcision as the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace. Baptism as the sign of the entrance into that New Testament church is come in the place of circumcision as the sign of the entrance into the Old Testament church. Since that is so, since it is clear how that Paul, he places these two on the same level, since it is clear how that he says they mean the same thing, that you do not need to be circumcised because that you are baptized, therefore all of the objections of the Baptists against infant baptism, they are immediately falling away. Why? What is the contention? The contention is, as we heard, faith that presupposes the sacraments. Thus, faith is presupposed in baptism. And, well, we know that children are not able to exercise faith, a little baby, a little infant. Therefore, children cannot exercise faith and children cannot be baptized. But then we have proven that baptism is replacing circumcision, then we only need to go back to circumcision. And we may ask, why is it then that little children were circumcised? Then it is very clear that the Lord himself has commanded both great and small to be circumcised, even though those little children were not able yet to exercise faith. Thus, that command is clear. Who are we to argue the command of the Lord? The fact is, what is required of an adult that is not always required in this world of a child. That is not a strange thing. Because we have become a citizen of this country as an adult. And when we did that, we had to swear an oath. But our children did not need to do so. They are also citizens of this country. And they are citizens of this country simply by virtue of being our children. And so that is also with this baptism. Through faith that precedes circumcision and baptism, when a man comes from outside of that covenant, that outward administration of that covenant. So that was for Abram, for the Ethiopian eunuch, for Lydia, for Cornelius, and so on. However, faith that often follows circumcision, baptism, when we are born under the administration of that covenant. And that is clear in the administration of circumcision, which cannot be different than the administration of baptism. Thus, even though children are not able to exercise faith, children, because they were circumcised, they also must be baptized. In the second place, we said that there is no positive command given by Christ to baptize infants. And that is true. However, when we see that baptism that has come now in the place of circumcision, then we ask, what need is there for Christ to give a new command concerning the baptizing of children? If that is so, that baptism is now replacing circumcision, then what holds for circumcision, that is holding also for baptism. And then we would rather need that the Lord would say, but you may not baptize now little children as you have circumcised the little children in the Old Testament. You must be sure that you are never baptizing little children in the New Testament. And that certainly we never read. But circumcision that is given as a blessing to children in the Old Testament, for what reason would baptism be withheld as a blessing from children in the New Testament? Is it true that the blessings that are given in the New Testament are narrower, are scantier than the blessings that are given in the Old Testament? That is not so. It is just the opposite. We see that there is a widening of the administration the further that we come to the end of this world. Thus, if children have received the sign of that spiritual blessing in the Old Testament, for what reason may children not receive the sign of that same spiritual blessing in the New Testament? Thus, to contend with the baptizing of infants in the New Testament, that is actually to contend with the circumcising of infants in the Old Testament. And we heard of the punishment that would come upon Israel if they would contend with the Lord against circumcision in the Old Testament. That was severe. then that soul, we read, would be cut off from the people of the Lord. Thus, it is not just a light matter, although it is not a matter of that is affecting the salvation of the soul, yet it carries with it the displeasure of the Lord. Thus, our main argument for the baptizing of infants is not that households are said to be baptized in the Scriptures. No, the baptism of infants that is based on the meaning and the substance of circumcision in the Old Testament. And when the Lord was pleased to change the form from circumcision unto baptism, then we are also to follow. And when he changed it from the bloody unto the non-bloody rite, then he did not change the substance, and he did not take away the blessing nor the promise. The baptism of households, rather than being a foundation, is rather a confirmation that infant baptism is to be practiced. We read that the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, that she attended unto the things that were spoken. That he opened the heart of Lydia. We do not read that he opened the heart of her household, and yet she, as that head of that household, she also had her own children baptized. We read of the work also of the Lord in the heart of the Philippian jailer. We do not read of his work in anyone else, though it is possible. And yet we read, he and all his were baptized. Thus, according to the commandment of the Lord. And a wonder and a blessing. Why? Let us sing first from Psalter 144. 144, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, the God that saveth me, remove my guilty stains, and I will sing thy righteousness in grateful, joyous strains. 144, stanzas 1 through 4.
Our second thought, the blessedness of infant baptism. And what is that blessedness? That is not that our children are regenerated by baptism. That was not so in circumcision. That is also not so in baptism. The Roman Catholic Church says that they are regenerated through this rite, through this ceremony. That baptism is working regeneration, and we have tried to show last time the falsehood of this. But Abraham Kuyper speaks about a presumed regeneration. And he says that when we baptize a child, we must presume that this child is a regenerated child. That the seed of regeneration is lying in this child. And why does he say we must assume this? He says because it is impossible to seal something that actually does not exist. A congregation also in the elect, there is no seed of regeneration before that they are converted. No, there is no such thing. Abraham Kuyper makes of the thief on the cross, before that he was converted to God, a regenerated person, thus as if he were a regenerated man who was mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that Saul of Tarsus was a regenerated persecutor of the church of God. Paul says it is different. He says we were children of wrath. He says even as others, then also those elect, they need to be converted, to be regenerated, to be born again. No, baptism does not make them so. And we do not need to presume that a seed of regeneration is lying in our children. That is such a subjective, a highly subjective ground for baptizing our children. But the baptizing of our infants is lying on an objective ground. It is a command. It is a command not of man, it is a command of the Lord, and there is in it a promise of the Lord. Therefore, it is also a great blessing. The Lord himself makes a separation. That is not us. The Lord makes a difference where actually there is no difference between us and the world and all who are not baptized. Baptized children, we can read that in our form, that our fathers speak of them as holy. And our and one of the questions that speaks about the children being sanctified in Christ, that is holy. What does that mean? Without sin? No, far from it. If they were without sin, they would not need to be baptized. Baptism that is signifying the washing away of sin. But what is holy? Holy, that means to be separated. And just as the children and all who were circumcised were separated, so everyone who is baptized is separated. That is so in an outward way. Our fathers speak about that here. They said they must be distinguished from the children of unbelievers. Paul says the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. What did he mean? Not that they were holy in the sense of without sin, no. But he said that they are separated. They are different from the children of this world. That is why the means of grace are so important. That is why that we have to have a
a confidence as a consistory that parents will bring their children up in the fear and at the admonition of the Lord before that we are able to permit you to baptize your children. Because that baptism that is not giving it unto them, no, it will be through the means that the Lord is blessing that our children will be converted. And despising the use of those means, when at the same time we are placing a sign upon the forehead of our children that is a contradiction which is displeasing unto the Lord. Receives not his blessing, but his curse. Thus a separation. But our fathers indeed also speak about an inward separation. So does our Lord's Day. Yes, for since they as well as the adult are included in the covenant and the church of God. What does that mean? That all of our children are included and in that covenant? No. No, we read they are not all Israel that are of Israel. But congregation, it matters not whether we are an adult or a child. Where does the work of grace begin? Does that begin with man or does that begin with the Lord? Does not begin with man. The Lord is the Alpha. He is the beginning. And it matters not if we are an adult or 100 years old or an infant of 2 months old. No, that same work of grace is needed and is able to be given to our children as is given to us in our adult age. And then the Lord says, why is it that my children and mine that are converted to me, mine own elect in their infancy should be deprived of the seal and the sign of that covenant of grace when I have given unto them that grace itself. Must they then not have the sign? Moses said to Israel, the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. Then our children, they come under the earnest supplications of the people of the Lord. Then it is not because of those supplications, no, but the Lord is giving prayer unto his church, also for our seed. Parents, our children are baptized. Thus, what does this mean to us? May we rest in their baptism, or we certainly may not rest in their baptism. Nor our form says, may we baptize our children out of some superstition. That is, that we are joining the church so that we may baptize our children when we are getting married. Well, then we have things not put in the right order. No, we may not rest in the baptism of our children, nor may we speak to our children as if our children are children of the covenant. Just as if we are presuming that our children are born again. No, that is not so. And yet baptism, that is a great blessing. It is a great encouragement. An encouragement to pray for our children. That we may plead with the Lord that he may give that content, that substance that he himself can give when he has given the sign, when he has commanded us to baptize our children. And that we may plead with him that he has set us apart. at least in an outward way, that he would set us apart with our children also in that inward way. The Lord Jesus was angry at his disciples because they pushed the children away. And he said, no, suffer the little children, and that they may come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Do you hear that, children? Oh, let it not be all play when you are young. It may not be all work when we are old. No, let it not be all play. But you must also bow your knees. And you must also read God's word. That is the reason that you learn your ABCs in kindergarten and how to learn to read in grade 1 and 2. Why? So you may read all the filth of this world and the novels and the fiction? No. No, but that you may read the Holy Word of God. That you may read the history of the Bible, that you may desire, that you may need in your life also a mediator, because we have seen it in the week that has gone by, even just a little child, not a year old, then she is being placed into the heart of the earth. Oh, children, you are baptized. Will you remember that? You are not just like the world. No, you are separated from the world. Oh, do not try then to be like the world. Do not desire to do all things as the world wants to do. No, there is a reason that the Lord has also brought you under the truth of his word. And that is not just to be just a fence about you, which is a great blessing for you. But that is also that you may receive that eternal blessing, that spiritual blessing.
Young people, you are also baptized. And when we become old enough, then we need to think for ourselves what we will do with our baptism. You have been brought up under that truth. You have been instructed by your father, by your mother. You have been warned in so many ways. And when you come to years as an adult, then it cannot always continue that you are remaining under that promise of your father and your mother. But as you have to make decisions that are according to this world and important decisions in this world, here is now a decision that really needs to go in the foreground. Do you now agree with that truth? Or do you not agree with that truth? Oh, we would not say to you that you must do confession of faith when you do not agree with that truth. No, it has to be that choice of your own heart. But oh, we would recommend it to you so wholeheartedly. That in the days of your youth, that the Lord may give to you and that blessed desire and that blessed choice to walk in his ways and to hear that truth because it is his truth. Do you say, I do not understand it? Oh, then you see the truth of it. Because that is what it says in the Word of God. That the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot know them. They are spiritually discerned. But oh, when you may place yourself willingly under that truth, or when you may join yourself to that truth, oh, that is the way the blessing of the Lord is coming in the life of a person. Only look at Ruth. People of the Lord, is it not a wonder that the Lord promises that he is going to build his church also out of our seed. And then when we look upon ourselves, then we say we are only worthy that the Lord would forsake us. And that the Lord, because of our sin,
would forsake our seed, but may the Lord give us an earnest cry at his footstool, that our sin may be forgiven, and that our children may not be judged on our account, but that the Lord may give to them also that blessed promise, which is sealed upon their forehead, that it may not burn against them and us forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a blessed sacrament. It has blessed meaning. It is what so many of us, if not all, have partaken of. But oh, that it may never testify against us. O Lord, it signifies an entrance into the kingdom of God. And oh, when we must have to say that we stand still on the outside, then there is a contradiction, O Lord, that contradiction may be bound upon our hearts, and that we may desire, that we may receive that substance. Wilt thou go with us in the week to come? Keep us all from accident and from danger and from evil and sin. And wilt thou help us each one with all the labors of our hands? Remember those that labor in thy kingdom here and in other places, and also next week when we hope to be in another congregation. Those that must labor here, wilt thou strengthen them in all their work? And wilt thou be here with thy presence and with thy spirit? Be with all that have special needs. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 89, stanzas 1 through 5. Ye children, come, give ear to me, and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long and happy live, let him my counsel hear. 1 through 5 of Psalter 89.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.